Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Metro, and to touch once again upon the P-Funk philosophy, as I was walking here, one of the biggest major things about the philosophy that I can't believe that I forgot yesterday, other than the fact that I didn't mention Funkin' for Fun under the Clones of Dr. Funkenstein album. And that I was thinking that Clones of Dr. Funkenstein album seems to be like almost a party album. It's almost really just about partying, and when I get back, or one of these days, I'm gonna go ahead and pull all the albums up and go from song by song and give a philosophical, my idea of the philosophical meanings behind the records and the songs on that record and what they meant to me and what I think they, what, you know, my subjective experience of them and what I took from them. But one of the main things I cut this on, because I didn't really feel like doing this, but I cut this on because it hit me another major thing about the P-Funk philosophy growing up. One of the major, major, major thing was it didn't dwell on God. I don't think God was mentioned. And I stopped to think about it. Did any other groups back then during that time, was God mentioned in the music or the philosophy or in the notes or whatever? Well, as far as P-Funk goes, God was not factored in. It wasn't excluded. I don't know if it was not excluded or if it was just not included. It's two different things from being excluded or just not included. It was just not part of the makeup of the storytelling, I guess. There were certain maybe political, religious ideas that were just left out. And that could be, and that is enough to, I guess, get to, I keep wanting to use the word platonic, you know. I keep wanting to use the word platonic. That could just be enough to satisfy what I, that could be enough to resonate with me. Just the fact that things were just not included. It's like neither here nor there. It's not that they were excluded. It's not that P-Funk was against these things or, you know, apathetic to these things. They just weren't part of the story. They were just not included in the story. And that made the philosophy much more appealing to me. I can't believe yesterday that I forgot, or maybe I just realized, there was no religious aspect to it. There may not have been any spiritual aspect to the Parliament records. And yesterday I said five. I've been saying five records. I wrote them down and I pasted them. I listed them, posted them on my Facebook wall, and there's six of them. I didn't include the live record. But, and it was six. And I think it went Mothership Connection, The Clones of Dr. Funkenstein, Funkadelic versus Placebo Syndrome, Aqua Boogie, Glory Holla Stupid, and Trombipulation. Those records right there. And the non-religious aspect, almost non-spiritual even. Those Parliament records, they touched on something though. They touched on something deeper and of meaning to me, but I can't quite say it was spiritual, but it was in a way. Maybe the music was meditative, listening to it, take you there, get you where you got to go. You know, to go away, or something like that, but I couldn't believe it. It just hit me, you know, the no love. Love wasn't, you know, a super factor. I love you. I can't live without you. oh, all that. You know, that wasn't a part of it. God wasn't a part of it. And I'm thinking the cameos and the Barques and the Slaves and all those other groups. Talk about God, it was religion or the religious aspect focusing it. And I do believe I can picture seeing, you know, God giving credit on album liners and this and that. Unlike Earth, Wind & Fire definitely went there. Earth, Wind & Fire definitely went to a spiritual kind of way. I'm not sure if they actually used the term God, be it Christian or any other kind. I'm not sure if they actually used that or said that, but Earth, Wind definitely had a cosmic spiritual aspect to it. So I just want to cut that on and get that up there. Maybe when I get to a certain point, I have some time, I'll pull up all the Parliament records and post them on the screen and go through them, go through the songs, get a feel, you know, give a explanation or a retort or whatever the word is for my evaluation or subjective experience of them philosophically, what I got from it at that age. Because at that age, I wasn't quite a full-fledged atheist. I wasn't sure what I was. I was just open. You know, I was just open to everything. But I was definitely leaning to, this don't make sense. I was definitely leaning to, this don't make sense. I used to go to church. I could speak at church. You know, I used to enjoy church. I enjoyed the music and everything. But I never truly believed in it. I wanted to. I tried. But in the fact that I didn't, I'm not sure if I struggled over it or if it was a point of contention, like I should, what's wrong with me or anything. I don't remember anything like that. But I remember thinking, this kind of really don't make no sense. I do remember thinking that. I was like, this kind of don't make no sense. And I remember back at that time, Michael Stivic, Archie Bunker's son-in-law, Meathead, the first atheist on TV. I'm not gonna quite say he was a role model, but he was, I guess, a role, yeah. Not like a mentor or somebody to follow like that, but a role. It was definitely, it was a role model. It was, definitely. Definitely. I don't want to put like a connotation of a role model as being almost like a character you can play. Not that you know, like worship them or look to them for this or that. Or look at, you know, that's in my mind. And, you know, my ego won't allow that. Or my ego doesn't allow me to feel comfortable with that. So, yeah, and I got gray. See this gray here? I got a patch of gray here that kind of throws everything off. I'm going to have to cut that off or something. And my mustache. So, yeah, I remember Meathead was atheist, so the idea was definitely out there. And I can almost say that the fact that Pete Funk didn't dwell on God or mention God or left God out of it, I can almost say that I can remember that being a part of it. You know, they didn't go there. And because it would have made it silly to me, you know, since I didn't believe it, I thought it was almost, you know, lunacy to believe in such things that you really can't explain. Even as a early teenager, And that would compromise the philosophy. For me, that would compromise the integrity of the philosophy. And the integrity of philosophy, I think what I'm doing now is I'm going back and I'm scrutinizing it, trying to tear it apart again, 50 years later, trying to tear it apart, quote unquote, tear it apart, to get to the core primary particle. What's the word? Fundamental particle? Quantum particle? What's the basic particle of, I can't even think of the words right now. You know, sometimes the words don't come to me in the morning. You notice that? And I've learned to just let it go. Think about it later. Like yesterday, I couldn't think of the word eluded or elude, eludes, alluded to. But I thought of it later as I was walking. Fundamental particle, whatever. Get to the core of it. That's what I like to do. Speak from. It's P-Funk. And I was talking, oh God, I called and talked to Charlie Lake yesterday. Oh my God. I called and talked to, no, Charlie Lake called me. And the first thing I told him, I said, man, I should have called you first. I wanted to be the one to call you first. I just been running around doing stuff. You know, I even picked up the phone a couple times to call him on my walk or whatever. I should have called him first because he plays an important part into something that is monumentally important to me. He's the band leader of the LA Maggots. And that job and that role is critical and crucial. And to put it crudely, it has to be done right. And again, right only means the way Jeffrey likes it or the way Jeffrey wants it. And again, it's subjective. It ends at the tip of my nose. This is the only thing we do. Talk about the way, what Jeffrey likes, what Jeffrey wants. And to have somebody in the position at the LA Maggots playing the music the right way. I mean, I told him, I said, I'm blessed. I said, I'm blessed to have that in my life. And then he started telling me stories about him and, you know, association, you know, how P-Funk hit him and this and that. And I'm like, oh my God, I almost started tearing up. Because I have to remember over and over again, I may be P-Funk number one, but I ain't the only P-Funk fan. There's some just as deep and more passionate than I am. And it's like, and it's almost to the point where I'm like, why is he doing this? It's like he's doing it for me. That's where my ego goes. It's like he's doing all this, you know, working with the band, getting it right. He studies the music. He's pulling up live versions. You know, they're going over it. Being in the band ain't easy. Personalities, you know, rehearsals, takes money, expense, collaboration. Somebody has to orchestrate and manage it. Organize all that, and the LA Maggots, even though I'm part of the LA Maggots and all that, and I'm an LA Maggot, might be the original, one of the original LA Maggots, to have like a separate wing or a separate department or a separate faction of the organization completely handle that, where something so near and dear to my heart, something so crucially important to me, so near and dear, and just, you know, because they had a rehearsal. Shit, they had a rehearsal walking distance from my house. And I said, nope, I don't want to go. I said, I don't want to go. I told you. Try, like I said, I don't want to be disruptive. I said, I don't want to be disruptive. I don't want to, you know, I kind of want to be a fan. Ain't no kind of. I definitely want to be a fan. You know, I want to be surprised. You know, he's saying there was some stuff in there that, you know, they threw in there, some stuff they going to do. And to actually, you know, have another human being that's into it and is passionate about it is me. It's like, why is he doing this for me? I literally, literally was like, why is he doing this for me? When actually his drive and motivation to be close to the music and the music, the impact the music has had on him and all of them is that significant. You know, it's that significant to where they have that imprinted on them like I have it imprinted on me. And it means that much to them as it does to me. And it's amazing. We had just a good talk yesterday, and they have him, you know, tell the stories, you know, how things are going and how they interrelate to the music and the philosophy and his experience, you know, and all that. And oh my God, it's just, it's, and we said, you know, we can't look to Mr. Clinton and George Clinton, pardon me, Funkadelic, to make new music no more. I said, I stopped looking to him to make new music. I said, in fact, it's up to us. I said, it's our responsibility now. We are the children of production, produced in conjunction with the urgency of Dr. Funkenstein. In his wisdom, he foreknowed the shortcoming of his condition. So we, the clones, were designed. It's up to us. It's up to us to make the goddamn music now. And the thing is, we know how we want it. We know how we want to hear it. We just got to do it. And we can't look to them anymore. And we shouldn't, because they did their part. They created it. And they still touring it, shit. Touring it for 40 years. They're giving us everything. They're giving us all the seeds, the fertilizer, the soil, everything. The water, the rain, the air. They gave us everything to do it ourselves. So it's up to us. And that's just my philosophy anyway. Maybe because I'm more conservative or whatever. It's about do it yourself. Don't look to nobody else for nothing. Or as little as possible. You know, that's just my idea of it, period. You know, I'm not one to be dependent on somebody else. And years ago, I realized, you know, waiting on Mr. Clinton and them to put out a funk record, or a record that I consider to be funk, and not just me, other people, we got an idea of what we want. It's not necessarily we want to hear Flashlight played all over again. It's not like, you know, we want Uncle Boogie played all over again. But there's the essence of that music that needs to be distilled in the DNA, like it's the DNA of rap. It needs to be the DNA of a new funk music. And I just kind of made that up, but it's true. And that's what I'm trying to do. Because the music I make, it don't sound nothing like Flashlight. And for a lot of it might not even be funk. Or it might be a new kind of funk. And just like Mr. Clinton and the 3GP and the Medicated Frog Dog and all that, and Shake the Gate, just like he can say that's the new funk, anybody can say it's the new funk. You know, nobody has the utmost authority to declare, you know, what funk is, what funk ain't. There ain't no gatekeepers to drop a line on a previous conversation on Facebook. It's wide open right now. There may have been gatekeepers when distribution was limited. But hell now, the only thing you need the quote unquote gatekeepers for, or the major record companies, whoever, you know, it's for distribution to make you a star. They can make stars instantly. You can make your own music now. But you might need to get in that assembly line, or get in that, what's it called, process, that whatever thing is, you know, when you get in that pipeline, you might need to get into that pipeline to become a star, to go through, you know, whatever the companies do to get you distribution, get you prepped, let them create what they want, and they make you a star just from marketing and distribution, having your name out there, getting you on all the right TV shows, getting you the right exposure, getting you worldwide, presenting you to a worldwide audience at that level. That's what they can do. For making your own music, you can do that yourself. And with distribution, it's the Spotify's and the DistroKids and the websites. You get your own marketing, your own platforms. It's all there. And I got all that in place. In fact, I was listening to some music that I did. I got this folder that I put all my, it's called JTV Vid Music Videos or something. So any video that I made where I was messing around and featured, you know, music that I created or had a hand in creating, music that I could probably sell, literally sell. I have the rights to sell. You can say that's another crude way to put it. I was listening to a few songs. I'll just click on something. There was some good shit in there. And by good shit, I mean stuff that appealed to me. I made music good enough. It's music that I made that I think was good. And that's all it was. And that's enough. Because I said before, there was a time I wasn't able to do that. But this stuff, I was like, wow, I made this? I did this? This sounds good. And I'm realizing how much work I've actually done over the years that I've kind of kept organized. I got it in one place so I could find it. You know, everything. I'm just very highly organized and strategic on the way I create and save things. Of course, it's backed up and encrypted. You know, I'm a computer guy, so I know how to, you know, make it safe and protect it. And I got a lot of music, a lot of people. And some of that shit sounds pretty good. And I go back, listen to stuff that I made 10, 12 years ago, whatever. And it sounds good. And I'm better now. I'm better now than I was then. So there are ideas and stuff that I can do to the music now that I didn't know how to do back then to make it sound even better. And me and Charlie Lake was talking about that. Because we did a song, we got to get it out. There's some stuff he said he wrote, some lyrics for a jam or something I was doing. I can't even remember the jam. I don't know what happened. You know, people come over and we just do stuff. You know, it's like no song, no music. You just come over and we just do stuff and it comes together. And it was a song that I mixed or something he played guitar on. And he wrote lyrics for it. And it was good. More than one person told me it was good, too. It was like a little clip. And so, we need to get that together. And this other stuff that I made that I got laying around. Because we talked about it needs to be a sense of urgency. Because this shit ain't gonna last forever. You know, we're getting older. A lot of us are not here anymore. You know, it's not an infinite. It's a finite thing. And there needs to be a sense of urgency. And one thing that we kind of worked out that I thought was major was that he said he was able to come to my house after work on a weekday. That right there in itself is major. That is major. That in itself is major. He could be at my house at 8, right when I get off work, and we could start working. We could probably work 4 or 5 hours, you know. Because I don't have to really go to bed till like 1 or 2 or something like that. So we could definitely get some work done if he can get up there right after work. Because my weekends is like booked. I ain't going to have a jury weekend until July. And between travel and graduations and this and that, I'm just going to be on the move. So that's that. But if we could work that out, that'd be major. Anyhow, just wanted to get that out there about the music. Something about the music. This music can't be beat. It's like many of the members have said. I think Billy Bass Nelson said it. That the music was going to get through. The music is good enough. It was going to make it no matter what. And said nobody could have messed it up because the music was just that good. and just that special. And by that, I think he meant like the sound, the tone, the idea of P-Funk on the one, the way it was played, a special way that that core group of human beings played it, learned how to play it, that nucleus of George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic that still exists to this day. The core band members playing that music, the core band members who executed live, and the sound of that, like I was telling Charlie Lake yesterday, I'm blessed. I used the word blessed because I couldn't think of another word at the time. I'm blessed to have y'all, people who play it right. People who play it right, play it a way that resonates with me. You might say there is no right or wrong way to play it, and you're allowed to say that. I say there is a right or wrong way to play it. And to have, you know, a band or be associated, to wear that LA MAGA shirt, knowing that there's a band, a group of dudes who play that music the way I think it should be played. What else is there? Literally. What else is there? And I get to see George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic, the mother band play 5, 6, 7 times a year, still, after all these years. And even with them posing the threat of new music still, though I don't anticipate it anymore, though I don't get excited about it anymore, just the idea that the possibility is still rewarding to me, and I credit him for that. I got to give him heads up and credit for that. And I can't take nothing away from him for that. And right now, since I got my head right, and I know what I need to do, and the things are in place on our end, my end, LA Magus, the whole Clones of Funk, this our side of the stage universe. People out there making it, people out there doing it. You know, I can't even be critical of George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic because they did everything. They've done everything they needed to do. They did it. They created it. They got it out there. It's mainstream. People know what it is. They know what it is when they hear it. It's worldwide. It's recognized. And I and a few others feel that it needs to go farther. We still need to go farther. And, you know, it's probably be selfish. I just try to be creative with that and dramatic. It would be selfish for us to look to George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic to keep doing it for us. It's like you look into your parents or your grandparents to keep feeding you. No, they did their part. Let them do what they want to do. You know, it's up to you now. You got it all. They taught you. They trained you up. You know that you've seen it. They showed it to you. It's all there for you. It's time for you to do it. And I thought that 10 years ago. And we're getting there slowly. We're getting there slowly. Or more so, the ride that we're doing is enjoyable and it's pleasurable. And there's a reward in just doing that. There's a reward in just being on the ride. You don't even have to complete it. You know, what we're doing, we enjoy. It's not like we're grinding or working. I mean, they are grinding and working, but we're doing this out of love. And, you know, funk is its own reward. We get the reward. But there might come a point where we need to get that Prince-like mentality or that Michael Jordan-like mentality, like Kobe Bryant-like mentality. We just go all out. Just 100% all out. Just turn it on nothing else, and just go 24/7 at it. Just hit it as hard with everything you got. Anyhow, that's that about the funk and the music and Jeffrey TV. And we on Jeffrey TV. I think that it's called We Funk Me. I got WeFunkMe.com. It could be We Funk Me. And I was calling everything We on Jeffrey TV because everything wanted everything Jeffrey TV. So so-and-so on Jeffrey TV, da-da-da on Jeffrey TV, Charlie Lake on Jeffrey TV, Ollie Nero on Jeffrey TV. I got all these different people who came over and recorded in the studio. And that's what I call it. And Jeffrey TV is the label. Yeah, we'll work it out. Whatever the name is, but Distro Kid, Jeffrey TV is the label. And so I'm Jeffrey on Jeffrey TV. You know? So anyway, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk, and for every elementary particle that's ever existed in the atom, and this or in the universe that ever was, is, or will be, a totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. Hypothesis of everything on the one. I don't know. I might have to implement that. Hypothesis of all as one. Hypothesis of everything on the one. My name is Jeffrey.